We're using some previous knowledge from a different simulation. So in this talk, I will be basically trying to answer the three following questions. How do we measure eccentricity for a preprocessing binary? How do we reduce this eccentricity for these preprocessing binaries? And why is it relevant? So this is an example for an eccentric binary, equal mass, non-spinning, and the eccentricity for this binary is around 5%. And for this case, so typically what we get from using the positron parameter is some kind of eccentricity with roughly like 1%, maybe less. And what we do is we try to reduce the eccentricity iteratively. And the plot here is showing basically in red the separation between the black holes, and it shows basically the oscillations due to the eccentricity. As the black holes approach comes closer, we have a smaller separation, larger separation, and vice versa for the orbital velocity. So the way the eccentricity reaction for takes place is basically we pick an interval, a couple orbits early on in the simulation, we evolve it, and then we try first to make a fit for the separation. We try to fit the separation or the orbital velocity. And what we try to do is we try to reduce the Newtonian eccentricity. And we do this by iteratively adjusting the orbital velocity and the radial velocity. And with the new values of the orbital velocity and the radial velocity, we evolve for a couple of orbits. We check the eccentricity, and then we make sure it's less than the previous one, and then we iteratively start again. Similarly, instead of using the separation between the binaries, one could do the same procedure, but using the orbital velocity between the for the binary, and we typically get the same results. So for this works very well for non-spinning binary black holes. So the upper panel is basically showing the oscillations due to the eccentricity. The black line is showing the oscillations in the separation, and the gray lines are showing the oscillations in the orbital velocity. And if we do the eccentricity reduction procedure, one ends up with very small eccentricity, something of the value 10 to the minus 5, and this is what the same curves looks like for an equal mass non-spinning binary. And definitely this works well. So for spinning binaries, as long as we have the spins of the black holes aligned with the angular momentum, and we don't have any precession for the spins of each of the black holes, and we don't have any orbital precession, so as the binaries are rotating around each other, they are remaining in the XY plane and no precession at all. And it's not surprising that the eccentricity still works very well. However, in the case when the angles of the spins are not aligned with the angular momentum, we end up with precession for the spin. So as the black holes are rotating around each other, the direction of each of the spins for each black hole is precessing. And as well, we have a precession for the orbital plane. So the black hole starts in the XY plane, and an orbit later or half an orbit later, they are somewhere in the XYZ volume. Well, this could be understood basically by looking on the spin orbit and spin-spin effects. And this is, for example, what the acceleration looks like for the radial distance between the binaries. So we have terms that are basically proportional to the S dot N, where N is the normal between the binaries, and multiplied by some coefficient, divided by some coefficient to the power R to the 5 or R to the 3. And we expect these to make some kind of oscillations in the separation between the binaries. And similarly, we expect something similar for the orbital frequency. So this is what the eccentricity reduction procedure that's trying to use the orbital separation, the separation to reduce the eccentricity. So this is a simulation done for a binary black hole with mass ratio 1.5 and one of the black hole has a spin 0.5, and it's pointing in the x direction. The other black hole is non-spinning with zero spin, and this is what basically the three or four iterations are showing. So we start with a PN value for the parameters, for the initial parameter, and we end up with like large oscillation. Then we do one more iteration, and we end up with a line which has a smaller eccentricity. We do one further iteration with the blue lines. We end up with something even smaller, eccentricity of 10 to the minus 3. And if we do one further iteration, we end up with some larger eccentricity, 3 times larger. So the main difficulty, so in this procedure, we end up with like a minimum around 10 to the minus 3. And the main difficulty that shows up in reducing the eccentricity is basically because of oscillations, maybe due to the spin-spin orbit coupling or spin-spin effects. So this is under still investigations. And the problem is showing up at half the orbital period. So this is half an orbital period. And you can see as you reduce the eccentricity, you can still see these oscillations at half the orbital frequency, which makes it difficult to measure what's the Newtonian eccentricity is. And it makes it difficult to do one additional iteration and make a good guess for the orbital velocity and the radial velocity at a constant separation. So apparently, using the separation, we can't do any further, any better. However, if we just use the orbital velocity and we follow the same procedure, get a couple orbits, do an iteration, make an adjustments for the orbital velocity and the radial velocity, and then in this case we can see much better improvement. So starting with the same eccentricity, 3%, you drop into 1%, and then you drop into 10 to the minus 3, and then further in, at the third iteration, you end up with like 10 to the minus 4, and the last iteration is something like 10 to the minus 5. So this procedure works much better, and you can see here that we get like oscillation that happens at a larger period of time, which is basically the radial period. So all of these oscillations that were happening at half the orbital period were suppressed completely, and we'd ended up with like oscillations that takes place at the radial period. And this is what exactly made it much easier to reduce the eccentricity and measure the eccentricity in these simulations. So this is a plot that's showing basically the comparison for the two methods, how do they work. So in this plot, I'm showing on the y-axis, I'm showing the radial velocity, the initial radial velocity guess, and the orbital velocity guess at time t equal to 0. And if we start with a common initial value for the radial velocity and the orbital velocity, if we follow the separation method to reduce the eccentricity, we go to 10 to the minus 2, and then we go to 10 to the minus 3, and then we jump up. So this is the method. And if we go through the method using the orbital frequency, we again converge to a very small value, and here you can see the final value, which is 10 to the minus 5, and at nearly the same point, we have 10 to the minus 4 eccentricity. Well, the striking feature is, although this one was diverging at the end, later time, it converged faster, but this one gave much more accurate and definite results in reducing the eccentricity. So for this reason, we're going to be using the orbital frequency to reduce the eccentricity. And when we tested this for binary black hole simulations with random spin orientation, we ended up with consistent result in reducing the eccentricity. So this is, for example, a binary black hole with a mass ratio of 5 and random spin orientation with magnitude 0.5. And a small black hole is non-spinning. And this is basically the plot showing the trajectory of the big black hole as it's precessing in the X, Y, Z volume. And if we make, try to make a plot for how the conversions, how the eccentricity is dropping down for various numerical simulations, basically with different angles or with different configurations for the spins, or if we take random spin orientation where both backhoes are spinning, we can still get 10 to the minus 4 or 10 to the minus 5, and which is very small eccentricity. So one advantage also for doing this study is basically from the radial period, one can basically, using the radial period and the orbital period, one can basically deduce what's the pre-astron advance for the binary is. So this plot is basically showing the orbital frequency divided by the radial frequency versus the orbital frequency. The axes are basically the data induced from equal mass, non-spinning, quasi-circular binary with an eccentricity of 10 to the minus 5. And it shows you some scattering in the numerical data. The dotted lines are basically the periastron advance curve for an equal mass 3PN formula. And the straight line is basically the periastron advance curve for a test mass case. And we have the data for the very small eccentricity value. And we ended up with some large scattering. If we took a somewhat eccentric binary with 5% eccentricity, we ended up with like these dotted lines showing us the pre-astron advance. And it somehow lines up between the 3PN equal mass and the 3PN unequal test mass case. Similarly, we've done the same, we've computed the pre-astron advance for unequal masses, non-spinning binary black holes, and we ended up with the data for Q equal 2, mass ratio of 2 for in red, mass ratio of 3 in orange, mass ratio of 4 in green, and mass ratio of 6 in purple. And as we increased the mass ratios, the data points tended up to be more and more aligned with the test mass case. However, with a much larger scattering because of the small eccentricities for all of these binaries. So we've also looked at various configurations for binary black holes. So this is basically the data summarizing the final values of the orbital velocity and orbital and radial velocity that are basically picked initially at t equal to 0 for 15 different binary black holes configurations. All of them was spin 0.5, and all of them are corresponding to an eccentricity of 10 to the minus 5. So on this plot here, I'm showing a set of five binary black hole simulations for q equal 1.5 at separation of 16. Here it's the Q equal 3 at separation of 12, and here it's Q equal 3 at separation of 14. And as we change, as we go from the points down to the points up, means we are changing the angle for the black hole that's spinning from spin down to spin up. And this is basically summarized, showing us how the variations takes place in the values of the orbital velocity and the radial velocity. And by just looking at these plots, we can basically use them to make, to do fitting formulas. So instead of starting with like few percent eccentricity or an eccentricity of 10 to the minus 3, we could basically use such data sets for starting with formulas that gives us immediately an eccentricity of 10 to the minus 4. So we don't have to do the iterative procedure for like five times or four times. So we can just do it for once. So we've also been trying the same procedure for reducing the eccentricity for 39 binaries so far. All of them was spin 0.5, and the procedures has been working fine. So most of these binaries are precessing. So some of them with like one spinning black holes or two spinning black holes. So we have around like 15 binaries with the central black hole spinning. And the rest of them are with the two black holes spinning. All of them with 0.5 spin, and the number of orbits for these binaries is ranged between like 15 to 23 for most of them, few of them with a number of orbits of 9, and two of them with like 36 orbit in spiral, and the frequency is the smallest frequency is around like 0.013 for the orbital frequency. And this is basically a typical configuration where I'm just like changing the mass ratios between 1.5, 3, and 5, changing the direction of the spins from 0, 30, 90, 150, and 180, and changing the angles in the XY plane for the spin between 0, 90, 180, 270 degrees. So we've also been applying the same procedure for larger spins and with mainly spins of 0.6. And so far we've been able to reduce the eccentricity for all of these runs. And so the next step is basically gonna be understanding what the waveforms are and what's the characteristics of the spins on all of these waveforms, and as well do a comparison for the spin effects to post-Newtonian effects and see how they match and what's our difference and how much is the difference. Thank you.
Thanks for Abdul.